Our experience in God's Word today is from John's Gospel. Take a little visit to Bethany. We'll be reading John chapter 11, verses 1 through 27. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death, for it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus, and so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go also, that we may die with him." Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that wherever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." "Do you believe this?" she said to him. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." And may God bless the reading of his holy and inspired word.
A theory is something that you think may be possible. We hear of theories, we can't really prove them. Sometimes we'll see evidence of them, but we just really take them as theories. We don't really know it for sure. Faith is assurance. It's interesting, you don't see it, you don't know it, because you haven't seen it, you haven't realized it, you haven't experienced it, but you know it. You're assured of it. It's something that you can't see and have never experienced it, but it's as real as can be. I was listening to, like I said, Mike Lindell last night and some other believers, some Islamic believers who had come to Christ. And the assurance that they had is astonishing from just a few years ago, a few months ago, or the contrast in life that they had some time ago to what they have now. It's an assurance. And I know that you, all of us who believe, are assured. It is as sure as the shirt that you have on your back, the person sitting next to you. It's an assurance. It's not a theory. Yet we haven't seen. Think about aerodynamics. Anybody want to come up and help me with this? I was in the Air Force. I didn't fly planes. One combat pilot gave me the stick one time, and I got to use the stick around Crater Lake for a little while. But that's it. He can explain to me how a plane lifts off the ground, and I can see a 747 or C-5s, the biggest aircraft there is, lift off the ground, and it still astonishes me. But if you would explain to me aerodynamics, I wouldn't get it. I wouldn't suggest that it could lift a 100,000-pound aircraft. It doesn't make sense to me. I believe it because I've seen it. Now, I'm still not sure I understand aerodynamics. In fact, I think there's thrust involved and some other things, right? So somebody could say, well, here's the aerodynamics of the C-5, and then, okay, oh, by the way, we better put some engines on there and give it how much thrust? I have no idea. And that working with aerodynamics will get the plane off the ground. Okay, fine. I see the plane flying. I'm happy with that. I'm good to go. How about gravity? Anybody want to help with gravity? I mean, you know, you throw a rock and it goes to the ground. You shoot a bullet or an arrow, it goes to the ground. You jump up, you come down. Rain comes down. I see it. Okay, Newton, I believe you. Come up and write it on the board. Fine, I'm not going to get it. I understand it. But I still don't I don't get it. But I believe it because I see it. How about relativity? Anybody want to give it a shot? In fact, still, they'll suggest relativity, and you see these things in space and all this, and I still, even seeing this, I don't understand it. How about evolution? Now, those who propose evolution have a theory. They see it. They see something happening, and yet they don't believe in creation. They give you a theory of evolution. You and I, as believers, we know that this is a theory, and yet we know this theory is false. We know it because we know Christ. Now, I'm talking about strict evolution. We can get into the other things later. Like, I was watching a fishing story the other day, and they were talking about what kinds of pike are in the world. And this guy went to Sweden, and he's fishing for pike and sent the DNA of this one pike off to some clinic. And came back as a specific kind of pike that it only grows there. It only is there, and it's different from the other pike. How did it do that? I have no idea. I know this. My uncle was not a monkey. I may have been called that in the past. I may have even acted like it in the past. But I know that because God said he created Adam. And all men have come from Adam. And we take that by fact. I know it by one other way, and that is the decline of man. We're in decline. We're not evolving into something better, right? Especially when there's Coca-Cola around. We keep inventing Coca-Colas and chocolate bars, and I keep wrestling against my flesh and blood because we know the fact that is written in the scriptures by faith, which is the assurance. Now, there's such a thing as a creed, the Apostles' Creed, and there's other, the Westminster's and other, there's other creeds by which the Bible, you can go through our Constitution and our bylaws and all those things, but I just thought I'd pull one out. Here's the Apostles' Creed. Let's read this real quickly, and you just line out in your mind which one you don't agree with, okay? Just line it out in your mind. I don't agree with that, okay? I believe in God, the Almighty Father, creator of heaven and earth. Do we want to say it together? We haven't never done that. That'd be great. Let's start again. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. For those of you who may have said he descended to hell, I think I'll strike that one out. Because that's a little iffy. What do they mean by that? It simply means he went to the grave called Sheol. You can take it a little further, and there's a study on that. It's a good one. But in general, we believe this. In fact, you've never seen this. And it's written down by men, and yet we are assured of it. It is not a theory. It is assurance, because it's in your heart. You know this? That when God comes into your heart and displaces disbelief, he puts in faith and hope and worship of him, your soul changes and our whole life changes because of something that is unseen. It's a wonderful thing, and it's not a theory. It's greater than aerodynamics and gravity. Because we don't even understand that stuff. But this we understand by Christ. Who do people say that I am? Jesus Christ said. And he's saying it today to so many people. If you talk to, you go out here 10 minutes from now, you're going to run into somebody. If you had a good conversation with somebody, within 10 to 15 minutes, we could bring up that question. Who do you think Jesus Christ is? But you have to know who he is first. You have to say in your heart, this is not a theory. The resurrection of the dead is coming because Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead. Now, in verse 1 through 2, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. We talked about this. These are friends of Jesus Christ. He would have went there and been served by them. They were friends. He loved them. They loved him. You're going to find out that Mary understands Jesus Christ is going to die in chapter 12. And so she anoints him and uses her hair to wipe off the ointment, to rub it in. And this Lazarus is a friend who loved him, and he loved Lazarus because it says so. So the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Jesus doesn't say, I didn't love that guy. You got the wrong person. You got the wrong guy. And it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sisters and Lazarus. Okay, there's a special, kind of a special thing going on there, right? Well, you know, we've been preaching this for at least 300 years in the United States, right? Have you ever sung the song, that little child song, Jesus loves me, this I know. And the little kids sing that at their bedside, and people think, well, you're brainwashing them. Yeah, with hope. were washing their brains, you're exactly right, with the fact that Jesus loved them. Oh, well, where does it say that? Where does it say Jesus loved you? For God so loved the world. Okay, so we can say, well, he was talking to the disciples in this one. He was talking to Lazarus and Mary and Martha in that one. And we can pick and choose. And no, God so loved the world. And he could do that because he knows everybody. He made everybody. And he set out to save everybody. And if you're his child, what father doesn't love his child? What mother doesn't love her child? That's God. He loves you. And he loves people, and he came to save everybody, just like Gary said this morning. We've preached this for a long time, and yet America still needs to learn. Mary and Martha needed to learn. The disciples needed to learn. They ate with him and drank with him and slept beside him and went through all kinds of stuff with him. And they still needed to learn. And America still needs to learn. And I'm wondering, and I'm hoping not. Well, that's silly. I still need to learn, don't I? Because the next time I get angry, or the next time I sin, or the next time something happens, or the next time I don't believe that he loves me, or on and on, we still need to continually learn how much God loves us. And so he's teaching us. But this assurance must be placed in our hearts. And if you don't have it today, I'm praying by the end of this message, you will. In fact, maybe you already do. Have this assurance in your heart that the resurrection is coming for everybody. Now, there are many religions, because the question is there one God? And which one's going to prove himself? You know, who is going to do what, or herself, right? Or that, you know, some of these got a, you know, they got the woman and the man. And they got to come together and then have kids and save them or whatever it is. All kinds of weird stuff. Like there can't be one God. And if there is one God, how's he going to prove himself? Through a theory? Through a theory? Can't even say it. Because we don't use theories. We don't use that word. We use assurance. It's not mystical. It's not unrealistic that the creator of the universe can recreate. The creator of the universe creates a man or a woman, and then that woman's tent dies in the grave. The soul and the spirit that was in that tent or in that clay pot, Paul says, goes on. Oh, for loss, there's no hope, right? No. Because Jesus is just going to pick up some mud or whatever, and he's going to recreate it. He's going to give you a new tent. It's like going out to Walmart and buying a new tent because your last one is ruined. It's even easier for him. Do we have to choose a God? Well, let's say we did. Let's choose a God. Is it the one who can make things grow, or is it the one who can give me what I want, or is it the one who demands everything, or is it the one that can raise himself from the grave? Nobody takes this life. I lay it down so that I can take it back up. That's the creator of the universe. That's our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll say, well, I don't need saved. Well, number one, we could look around and see that things are coming. Speedy train down the line, just as prophecy predicted. Number two, you can look in the mirror and say, yep, that guy, he's going to need a salvation. He's going to need a physical salvation because I'm headed for the grave. I can feel it in my bones. I can see it in the mirror. I can look around me. It's a physical salvation. A physical salvation. King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles was going to be decimated by the enemy. And yet the Lord told him to stand firm in your faith and you will see salvation. It was a physical salvation for him. When Moses was standing at the Red Sea, and he looked behind him and he saw the enemy coming, which, by the way, the enemy is always coming with you and me. And it's interesting, the Lord says, don't just stand there. Raise your staff and part the sea. And he said to him, the Lord said to him, stand firm and you will see your salvation. And that is what it is with you and me. Stand firm. It's like the oldest man that we know of in the book that wrote, Job. And Job 19, this is what he specifically says. And if the Lord didn't mean it, it wouldn't be there. And Job wouldn't be saved, and it would be on with the other cult, you know. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last day, he will stand upon the earth. There's one that the King of the Lord, the King of the earth and the universe will stand on the earth. Well, when Jesus died, you want to go back to Job and say, you didn't know what you were talking about if Jesus was him. And yet Jesus raised from the dead. And so there's a future prophecy in there as well. There's a near and far, as we talked about this morning, that Jesus dead and died and then he raised and he's coming back to the planet and he's going to stand on the earth. And then Job says, because of that, after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. That's fantastic. That's our hope. In this flesh, not this flesh, this tent, but in my flesh, it will be my body, I will see God. And my eyes, I'll have eyes, shall behold him and not another. My heart faints within me. He was overcome by this joy. Because if you're a Buddhist or a Hindu, you don't have this hope. You have a hope that you don't become a bug next time. Or that you don't become another Buddhist next time. Or a caste of Buddhism, a slave, or even a rich, whatever. And you have to get those. You have to keep going up the line because you have to keep doing good over and over and over. You know, in Islam, you got to be good in this one life. In Buddhism, you got to keep doing that. In Christianity, it's none of that. It's none of that. It's through the assurance that you have in your heart. Know it and claim it. Islam believes that there's going to be a resurrection and then the tribulation. It's like, oh man, no! I have to prove myself again through the tribulation? No. Mormonism believes flesh is evil. You're not raising flesh. You're not going to raise that flesh. That's Gnosticism. People think, you know, Mormonism came in the 1800s or whatever. No, it's old. It's Gnosticism that the flesh is evil. When God, the Logos, said, that's good, that's very good. And now it's sinned, so there's a little leaven in the lump. Let's remake the lump. God is going to remake the lump. Boy, aren't we happy. I want a new lump. Verse 4, when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. We went through this. God is going to be glorified through this, and then he's going to glorify the Son. The Son is going to be glorified. However, at this point, we just want to say, Lord, you're not, wait a minute, you're not a doctor. What do you know? You haven't been through even you know, Luke's classes, have you? Well, how do you, I mean, and by the way, you're what, you know, 70 or 80 miles away from where he died. And how do you know all this? Lord, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, he has a plan. He's the creator of the universe. And he's going for a specific reason. So that people would have not a theory, but assurance. Now, this was written 2,000 years ago, and we read this, And we read it like, well, is this a theory or is this really happen? And then when the Holy Spirit comes and touches your heart, you read this and go, I know that's a fact. I know that. You're telling your friends, you're telling your family, this is fact. This is not reasoning things out. This is a fact. Lord, are you able to do this? Lord, can you do this? You're head of a company and you're going to hire somebody. You need somebody. You bring them in and they tell you, I can do this. I can do that. Can you put this together? Or do you know about these rules? Or do you know how to do this? Or do you know how to run this kind of equipment or this office equipment? I can do that. When they're sitting there and they're saying those things, it's theory. You're like, that person says they can. I'm not sure about this. So you start asking some questions about what have you done? Where have you been? You know, what kind of awards or rewards or how long have you been doing it? Or where have you worked? Who have you worked for? Why did you get fired? Or why did you leave? Or all these kinds of things, because it's just theory. We're just going to ask away until we can find out. And then if we're smart, we'll say, well, you know, let's go through the office and you show you around and, you know, point out a machine or something. Hey, jump on there or do whatever and try to get some facts out of it. Because unless it's seeing, it's not believing many times. But with Jesus Christ, it's not theory. It is fact. He's not a doctor, a mechanic. He's not a chef versus a cook. He's the Savior and he saves. And so the Son is the image of the visible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, are all things that have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. If you were just to simply go by this and go give this to somebody to read, they go, oh, how am I going to, whoa, wait a minute, where do I start? How do I prove he created the thrones, let alone the powers and the rulers and the authorities? And where am I going to start? And how am I going to figure this out? You can't. You take it by faith. And that is who he is. If he's the creator, he can recreate. Listen, the resurrection to us is the greatest miracle ever. It is the most magnificent thing that has happened and will happen to you and anybody. And yet for him, he speaks a word and it happens. I mean, this is, I'm not going to say it's mundane because it's a miracle, but it's God work. It's his work. And for God, it is easy. Well, prove it. Prove it. Martha said to the Lord, Lord, if you have been here, my brother would have died. See, this is where they're at. They're going, listen, you can't even show up on time. They didn't say that, did they? Yeah, can you even show up on time? You heard, we sent a message to you. King James. No, he said, Lord, we know. Our hope was that you would be here before he died. You've got to meet our needs. You've got to fix this. Martha said that. What did Mary believe? Same exact words. You got the two sisters. And Lazarus, who lived and ate and slept with this man, was a friend and loved him. And this is what they understood, that if you had been here, there would be no problem. And yet the Lord said so to his disciples, and he's saying to them, so that you will believe, I'm glad that I wasn't there. And we need to understand this for ourselves, that we need to understand and believe that God is the resurrection and life. Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, so that you may have assurance, not a theory, that you may believe. And us afterwards, filled with the Holy Spirit, we read this and we go, this is just fact. Well, Raymond, why are you preaching it again? We've heard this already. Haven't we been in like this chapter for, this is like our third week or something? Yep. Yeah, because sometimes in our hearts we doubt. And like I said before, Peter and others will say, I don't have any problem reminding you. The Lord wants us to be reminded. He wants us to have complete assurance. In Mark 8, but what about you? What about you? Do you have assurance in this man who said he can do this? Well, let's look at Christ's credentials, okay? Let's look at some of his credentials. This is a job interview, right? You wouldn't interview Jesus Christ for a job, but let's just kind of sit him down for a minute, right? I mean, because if the Lord said to the Pharisees, look in the Word and believe Moses, and if you can believe him, you can believe me. Well, we look at the Word and see, hey, what can we believe? Do you have a history of raising people from the dead, or is this like your first job? Well, let's take a little look. Elijah, the widow of Zarephath's son, was raised by the Lord. Elisha, the Shunammite woman, in 2 Kings 4. A man raised out of Elijah's grave. Do you remember that? I kind of didn't remember that one. I had to go back and look at it. Where the Moabites are coming against them. And Elisha had just died. Oh yeah, the prophets die, by the way. And he died, and he's in an open grave because the Moabites are coming, and everybody kind of runs away from the grave. And then somebody else died, so probably by the Moabites' hands. And he falls into Elisha's grave. And he touches the body. Guess what happens? Listen, this is myth, and we don't need to hear this stuff. That's what the world's going to say to you. Why would somebody be raised from the dead who, by the way, he died? Did he believe? Doesn't say anything about that. It says that the dead man touched the dead Elisha because the power of God was in Elisha. And he was raised from the grave. Jesus' first resurrection, it says, was the widow of Nain's son. Peter raised Tabitha, remember. Jesus raises Jairus' daughter. Paul, remember Eutychus, the young man who fell asleep in the upper room and he fell over dead. And he was raised. Jesus is going to raise Lazarus of Bethany. And of course, Jesus is going to raise himself. And he said that specifically, that he was going to do this. We kind of forget this. That there's a history of Jesus Christ doing this work. The question is, do I believe these words? Do I believe this book? And the answer is, without a doubt. Take a list of these, go around and say, do you believe in a resurrection? Here's a list of them. Here's what Jesus has done, and this is what he's going to do again. Here's something else he did. A mass resurrection in Matthew 27. Many raised from the dead and went out through the town and witnessed to people. And this is going to happen again. How many types of resurrections are there? In general, there are two types, okay? And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. The wicked will go away to eternal punishment, the righteousness into eternal life. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Okay, so everybody's coming out of the grave. We'll talk about timing here in a minute, but everybody's coming out. Not one person is going to be left. Sonia and I were talking about this the other day. I have a friend who got lost in the sea, eating. You know how many Dungeness crabs are off the West Oregon coast? I don't need to be, you know, gory here. But, you know, there's no bones stucking together there. Stucking together? These things are happening on our planet. Lord, you can't. Did you see these people in the wars and how they get killed? Lord, can you do this? Well, I've done it before. I'll do it again. Let's clarify one type, the first resurrection. I just want to throw this in here just so that we're clear on Revelation chapter 20, because it talks about the first resurrection in chapter 20 of Revelation. I want to clarify this. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom the authority to judge was committed. That's believers. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, that's out of the tribulation, and for the word of God. And those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received this mark on the foreheads of their hands, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with him for 1,000 years. When you get to chapter 20 of Revelation, you've gone through almost all of the book, and now it mentions the first resurrection. And what I want to say here is, this is the preeminent resurrection, and it happens in stages. This is going to be the finality of the first resurrection. What do I mean by that? It happens in stages. For as in Adam all die, so Christ all will be made alive, but each in his order. So now, you have everybody dying, except for the rapture, that's a different subject. But you have everybody dying, many to punishment, many to righteousness, okay? And they're going to happen in order. Christ is the first fruits. The people who have died and were resurrected in the Old Testament have died again. Anybody who Jesus raised, Lazarus, you don't see him walking around, he died again, okay? Then those who are Christ at his coming, at the same time of the rapture, the dead in Christ will rise first, okay? So Jesus is the first fruits, and it's an Old Testament subject. They would wave first fruits. They would cut the first fruits and wave it before the Lord and say, this is our first fruits. We're giving it to you. And they obeyed the Lord so that there would be a prosperous crop afterwards. That's what Jesus is. He's the promise of a prosperous crop of us. Okay? Then multiple resurrections during the tribulation. The two witnesses are resurrected. The tribulation saints, first half. And probably the second half, there's a little unclear about that, but it seems like there's at least two resurrections in the Revelation with the tribulation saints. And just maybe one, but we'll see that. And so we saw this point already, I think, right? Oh, no, this is the final resurrection. Then I saw a great white throne, and the one who sat on it, the earth and the heaven fled from his presence, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Also another book was opened, the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works, as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and all were judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The lake of fire, and anyone whose name was not found and written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So you'll see that everybody up to this point was righteous, was found righteous, and was raised in different stages. The final resurrection is of all the wicked and the white throne judgment at the end of the millennium. And if you have questions, there's a summary. Just goes basically through the same thing. You can ask Gary or others. Me, I'll definitely be available. There's a picture of it. The resurrection, the rapture is the same time. Multiple resurrections. There's another rapture, possibly. The second coming of Christ. And then the final resurrection in the white. Just a picture. Now, let's wrap this up. There's a Veterans Day. I think it's in October, right? I'm a veteran. I'm not sure why. I mean, I'm not sure the date. But that's when we remember those who are living. That's probably why I don't, you know, maybe. That's when we remember the living. The ones who are still walking around. That's a good thing. Greet people. Thank you for your service and all that stuff. But the Memorial Day is a little different. The Memorial Day is to remind us of the dead. They died. And multiple graves are on the planet. Billions of people lie in the sea and in the ground. And there is no theory that's going to raise these people. There is a person. And that's why all other religions, they're a religion. They're not a relationship with the God and creator of the universe. After these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. See, that's how it is for him. Jesus is saying, this man is just sleeping, because to him, that's what it is, because he's going to raise. The disciples said to him, Lord, I don't get it. Lord, if he had fallen asleep, he will recover. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought about he meant taking a rest. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. In other words, you still need to learn. So Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die. So Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, this is where her belief came. This is where God wants her. This is where God wanted Mary and is going to get Lazarus, and he wants us. This is the finality. Martha said to him, after he said, your brother will rise again, Martha said, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on some day in the future, the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He said to the three people who he loved. Do you have assurance of this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who is coming into the world. That's who Jesus Christ is to us. He's the final person, the final religion that anybody ever has to search for. This is our hope and assurance. And this, to be frank with you, is the assurance that we must take with us for the rest of those who do not believe. Lord, we do believe you. We have assurance in our hearts because of it, Lord. What stops us sometimes is my own actions, my lack of ability, or my lack of a capability or opportunity or desire to serve or to be right. And yet you said that I'm not the one that needs to be counted on for myself, but you are. You are the grave keeper. You are the one who will lift us up out of the grave. Lord, we look forward to that day. I want to pray for everybody here who is hurting in their bones, who has taken medicine, who has dealing with emotional or mental or spiritual issues. I want to pray for everyone here who is reminded that they are dying, that they can have assurance that there is fantastic hope. It's not a theory. It's someday you will come get us, whether it's in the air or from the grave. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.